flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
There's a lot of room for that. Expand the strength and conditioning staff, expand the training staff, expand equipment staff, all that stuff, but that's money. Yeah. And we all know that the Rooneys aren't putting a lot of extra into that stuff. That's just the way they've never done it that way. So don't expect that to change. But there's absolutely, I think, room to grow in terms of extra coaches. You know, everyone had one position coach. I remember going to one of the Pro Bowls, and I think the Houston Texans were the coaching staff. And I remember sitting in a quarterback meeting room at the Pro Bowl. You had the quarterback coach, and there were like two or three other coaches in there. Mm. And I'm like,
what are you guys doing?
These are all like their coaches.
Ben Roethlisberger said that, Doran.
That's a long time ago, because I can attest to that. I mean, 2010. I mean, everybody had an assistant coach to their individual coach. And this is 2010 in Houston.
They didn't even have a quarterback coach for a period with Ben and Mason Rudolph. A quarterback coach. And you know why that is? Now that I think about it, I haven't thought about it until this very moment. It's because you had Ben.
Right.
And so you didn't think you needed somebody to coach the quarterbacks, and you cut corners. When you look at real cash spent this year too, not like that fake, you know, cap cash, Steelers were like 28th in the league in real cash spent. Now, I'm not going to say they don't try to win. They do always spend to the salary cap, and there are times when they are at a different spot on that list in terms of real money spent. There are. But there's a salary cap for players. They just got Akrisher to come on, right? Because of the money-making aspect of that. And they're not folding that into the staff.
Nope.
Now, they pay Mike Tomlin a lot, but they don't pay the rest of the staff a lot. I saw Pony tweet out yesterday from a website that tracks these kind of things that Terrell Austin's making less than $1 million.
That's crazy.
That's a defensive coordinator in the NFL. Now, I know that the Penn State guy that they just brought in, Jim Knowles, who's a hell of a coordinator, was at Oklahoma State, was at Ohio State, he's making 3.4. Don't even focus on that guy. That's the most a defensive coordinator, to the best of my knowledge, has ever made in college football. West Virginia is paying their defensive coordinator more than the Steelers then. Pitt, with Bates, probably paying more than $1 million. He's one of the best around. The Steelers are paying him $900,000?
That's wild.
So coaches don't count against the salary cap. If you're looking for a competitive advantage, that would be an avenue. I don't know how much it helps, how much it doesn't. I think you can look at staff sizes around the NFL, and there are going to be some teams with big staffs that aren't good, and there's going to be a lot of teams with big staffs that are good. But to me, it's the principle of the thing. You are capped with players. You are uncapped with coaches. You should be trying to do whatever you can to give yourself any little edge wherever you can find it analytically. Clock management. It might not help, but what's the harm? And so I said in the first segment, the number one thing they could do this offseason that would make me go, ooh, they're moving in the right direction, is actually spend money like the rest of the league does on offense. The other thing would be if they did what the Ravens just did. And the Ravens, they pay a former defensive coordinator, a former head coach in the NFL to come onto their staff and be an analyst and an assistant coach. If the Steelers did that on the offensive side, I would say, okay, finally, it's late. It's 2025. You should have been doing this for a while, but at least you're doing the right thing now.
Mm-hmm. And it absolutely does help, though. Like you just said, you don't know if it helps or not. And I could see that, but it does help. Like it's the extra individual time that you know one coach cannot give to 5, 6, 7, 8 guys. Then you have another assistant coach of the individual coach, and you split it up. Okay, so 4 guys can get that individual attention. It's the extra set of eyes, the extra set of ideas, and not just having extra personnel of like young up and comer. Hey, this is your first opportunity. We'll show you the ropes, and you're going to see how we do things. No, get like dudes that have been around the league that know and can infuse certain ideas.
Detroit's done that really well.
I mean, so many assistant, you know, position coaches that were a part of teams, a part of big staffs, are becoming offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators right now. I mean, Arthur Smith is the one prime example. Like, a guy was head coach 2 years ago, and he was my assistant tight ends coach in 2014. Like, and he mattered. Like, he had a say. He helped. He helped individually. Like, you know, he did different things. And, like, it does matter. It really does. And,
well, it's with kids, too, right? Like, the ratio of teachers or faculty to students, that's always been a big thing. Like, you don't want one teacher for, like, 50 students.
Right.
You think those kids are going to get the best possible education they deserve? No. When I say I don't know if it helps, what I should have said is there isn't this correlation where the bigger the staff, the more success you have. Like, there are teams that have big staffs that suck.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not going to keep me from doing it, because I do agree with you. How could it hurt? If I'm a nickel corner and you've got a nickel cornerbacks coach, I'm probably going to get better at a faster rate if that guy has any idea what he's doing.
Yes.
But if you've got one secondary coach who's coaching the safeties,
one voice,
the nickels, the outside guys, one voice, no diversity of thought, then yeah, you're probably not going to learn at the appropriate rate. And I think there's a direct correlation between how vanilla the Steelers are defensively and how few voices they have in their defensive meeting room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're going to hear from Julian Edelman, who, my God, crushed Mike Tomlin, coming up in the next segment. If you've got a big defensive staff and you can explain your defensive schemes one-on-one or one-on-two because you've got so many guys, that's going to help as compared to I've got Tomlin and a defensive coordinator. Here's what we're going to do on the defensive side. Like, I don't think you can get as intricate defensively as you would want to.
No.
So, yeah, it is a big deal. And here's a text at 412-928-9370. And the text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury attorney, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I enjoy you guys on my ride to work in the morning. Thank you. But we got to talk about something else. My gosh. Look, I understand the Steelers fatigue because so much of what's going on with the Steelers right now can be spun negative because I think we're all observing it the correct way.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot good going on right now. I get the sentiment. We got to talk about something else. A Hall of Fame quarterback for your franchise just came out and basically called the owner cheap. That's a massive story.
Yes.
Massive story. And he's not wrong. We went to the website yesterday. They have 18 coaches on staff. Art said in the press conference they have 27. Then why do you list 18?
Right.
And four of them were strength and conditioning people who have no input on game plan or anything like that. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, Doran, but just because you're on the NFL strength and conditioning staff doesn't mean that you played football, right?
Like, right. A lot of them didn't.
Yeah.
Some of them did, some of them didn't.
So those people aren't sitting there going...
They're not going into meetings.
Right.
No. They're drawing up, okay, like, you know, what's the calisthenics for the day? How are we going to warm these guys up so they don't, you know, blow out calf muscles?
Which they didn't even do that well this
year. Exactly. They're the get-back guys on the sidelines.
So really, when you're talking about it, it's 14 people that are football people.
Yes.
That's not enough.
No.
That's not enough. And, again, to me... You can speak to the tangible benefits, and you just did really well. I can't. But what I can say is you've got an opportunity here that you're missing. You've got money that could be invested into a coaching staff that is going someplace else. Is it going into facility upgrades? Like what? No. We just saw the report card come out last year for the NFL Players Association. Their facilities are draconian.
Mm-hmm.
So where's that money going?
My thing is with what Art said with the 27 staff members. It's like okay, I'll let you have that, right? All right, but okay. So who is the 27? That's my thing. Because are they just names or are they guys? If there's 27, tell me who the names are. Do I recognize that name? Because I shouldn't recognize at least four of those names that are helping and supporting the actual coordinators and individual coaches.
Yes.
Like, is there a Frank Reich on your staff? What's the guy, the old coach? He was a senior associate advisor whenever I was in Houston. Ray Rhodes. He was a head coach of the Eagles for a long time, right? And I was like, Ray Rhodes is here? They're like, yeah, he's just here to just oversee everything. He was just there. Because he had experience.
Yeah.
That's a name that you see, like, if you have one of the 27. One of the 27 that they have, if there is 27, I don't recognize any names. And I'm not slighting those guys because they're working and they're trying to get themselves a great opportunity. But whenever we say expand the coaching staff and add to, you know, the position groups and to the coordinators and the assistants, you know, where's some of the guys that are, you know, there's a lot of guys that want to get back into coaching that have been coaching for 30 years that have names that can help. And for me, for real.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Marrone just got hired as an offensive line coach. You had mentioned him before. He's one of the better, more well-respected offensive line coaches of the last, like, 25 years. And you've got Pat Meyer and you've got Broderick Jones flapping in the breeze. I'm looking at the Detroit Lions coaching staff right now. We kind of played with this yesterday. DetroitLions.com, Doran, because we did it with the Steelers. JT Barrett is their assistant quarterback coach. That guy tore it up at Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Brunell is their quarterback coach.
Mm.
Mark Brunell. These are names you recognize.
Yep.
And if we recognize them, and I think this matters, your players recognize them and your players respect them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, guys you grew up watching, that's important. Antoine Randall, their wide receivers coach. Not only do they have a quarterbacks coach, who everyone knows, they have an assistant quarterbacks coach. Oh, and by the by, they have a passing game coordinator. I look at defense. You got Deshae Townsend as your defensive passing game coordinator and defensive backs coach. They got names that you recognize. Guys that are respected. The Detroit Lions, just as an example here, because I do think they're avant-garde. I do think they're cutting edge. I do think they're the hot young thing right now. They have two special teams coaches listed, and then they have their strength and conditioning staff as a totally separate thing. Like, I'm looking here, they got 25 coaches, including their strength and conditioning people, whereas the Steelers have 18, including their strength and conditioning people. There's a difference there. There's diversity of thought. Mike Tomlin just sits there, and here's what we're going to do on defense, instead of having seven people there say, well, you know what, I actually saw this, or I actually saw that. the fewer people you have, the harder it is to scout. And when you're game planning, right, Doran?
Like, absolutely.
If I've got seven guys on my defensive staff, you might have one guy who says, and this is granular, and it also might be limited understanding for me, but like, hey, I know when I pick this up just watching film, if they're in this bunch set on third down and whatever, they like to run this, and they'll like to run that off of this. You might have missed it because you are the head coach and calling all the defensive shots. I saw this. You might want to pay attention to it.
I don't know how much of a say those people do have, too, with whoever's on the staff as well.
With the Steelers.
But that's how it should work. You're exactly right. That's how it should work. But with the people that are, you know, helping the Steelers and a part of the staff, I don't know how much say they really have whenever you do find something on film to go to Mike Tomlin and say, hey, they're running this. Maybe we should counter with this type of defense.
Right.
Is he going to be like, yeah, okay? Or is he going to actually use that intel? I don't think he will. I don't think he wants input. And it does alarm me, too, how many former Pittsburgh Steelers are coaches now, and none of them are on the staff.
And not here.
And they're good coaches, not just guys that have jobs because they're former players. You just named Brandon Well. I mean, Hines Ward's out there. Larry Foote, Deshae Townsend. None of them are Steelers coaches?
William Gay. Washington Commanders coaching staff.
None of them.
Who I'm looking at theirs right now. It's massive. Darnell Stapleton's on their staff. Someone texted and said, look at the Dan Quinn staff here. You got William Gay and you got Darnell Stapleton. I bet you if I jumped around to just a couple of random teams, I would find some Steelers.
Yep.
Hines Ward wanted to come back last year.
Yep.
And they hired Zach Azani, who's supposed to be this hard ass. But who are you going to respect that guy? Or are you going to respect Hines Ward?
And especially a guy that knows the culture. That's another, you know, kind of angle to it. Like, you want to preach Steeler culture. You want to preach the way that you do things, Mike Tomlin, and is your voice becoming stale? You have guys out there that are coaching that have played for you, that if they got an opportunity to coach back at in the Steelers organization, you don't think that they would show and preach and show an example how the culture is supposed to be?
Oh, man, it would be, I think, a huge deal. You know, we talk about the Steeler way. The Steeler way anymore is mediocrity.
Mm-hmm.
But William Gay knew a different Steeler way.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Darnell Stapleton, just to name one that I just stumbled upon here, he won a Super Bowl. You know, Larry Foote. Guys like that who can ingrain into you the culture of how it used to be.